praise Him by your sincere service and chanting. This is a very important point that Prabhupada is saying here. Earlier, thus far, He has just said, just speak the truth. Even if it's not pleasing, just say it. But now what is He saying? You must learn the art of speaking the truth. In other words, speak the truth, but don't unnecessarily make it displeasing. When? Just by some skill, but just by use of intelligence and being sensitive, you can present that same truth in a way that will not be displeasing. So it doesn't mean that when you speak the truth, you always have to speak it in a displeasing way. There are also ways in which you can speak the truth in a pleasing way. That is the art that we have to learn as devotees. So Prabhupada says, that is the art of speaking the truth. And again, I repeat the point Prabhupada is making, that yes, you must speak the truth, but how you say it, it is another thing. So remember, in life it's not just what you say, it's also how you say things that make a big difference. Many times we see how you say is more important than what you say also. Not that what you say is not important. There are times when you can say the same thing in such a nice way, such an intelligent way, that the person doesn't take offense. The person doesn't find it displeasing. So this is the art that we have to learn. If we don't know that art, then we will create a disturbance. And Prabhupada says that you will learn this art by experience. If you are a sincere devotee and you continue on in your Krishna consciousness, then you need not worry, because you will learn how to speak Krishna consciousness and truth in a palatable way. You know, there's another country which did not allow Srila Prabhupada in. That was the only... Actually, Prabhupada even went to the Islamic countries. He even went to the communist countries. But this was one country he did not go to. And even today, most devotees are not allowed to go into this country with certain cloth. You have to wear civil clothes to go in. Things have improved a lot in the last few years because of the sincere efforts of the devotees there. But still, they advise that it's better to not wear this cloth when you're going into through the airport, in and out. So I inquire, what is the reason that Srila Prabhupada was prevented from coming to the country? And the answer was that his disciples came to this country in the 1970s. There was a large population of migrants from India, mostly from South India, from Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh states. And many of them were worshippers of various demigods. And they had various types of worship practices. Some of them were tamasic, in the mode of ignorance, some in the mode of passion, some, you know, various types of worship. So when these devotees reached that country, they were preaching with great enthusiasm, making fiery speeches, but they were not sensitive to the people there. They spoke the truth, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they spoke so strongly against demigod worship, and they critiqued the people there so much, where the programs were being held in those temples of the demigods, because that's where the people would gather. And then it was the Hindus in that country who complained to the community government. And then the government banned the devotees from coming to that country. Because, and for, the effect lasted for 40 years or more. Just see how much it affects the preaching of Krishna consciousness if we are not expert in the art of presenting Krishna consciousness. Decades it may take for the effect to remain. There are other points that Srila Prabhupada made in his preaching which are not the essence of his teachings. But sometimes devotees take that one point and they make an issue of it when they are preaching, and that is something that non-devotees find completely unacceptable. And then they reject the whole philosophy because they say, if you're saying this, then I just can't accept it. But the point is that this issue is not the core of our philosophy. When they understand the main philosophy, then they will be able to understand and have faith in this other statement. But when you take that other statement which is not central to the philosophy, and then you preach it very forcefully and on the forefront, and that becomes like prominent in your preaching, then people get very disturbed and you drive away the people who are coming to you. So even though what Prabhupada said is the truth, but is that particular point that he said something that you want to shout from the rooftops about? That is the point. You can present it in a pleasing way, you can present other things which are more central and more fundamental to the teachings. Like, you're not the body, you're the soul. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hundreds of things to talk about. Our basic concepts. So the important point Prabhupada is making here then, we have to learn the art of speaking the truth, we have to learn how to say the truth. As far as possible, we should try to speak pleasingly when we are speaking the truth, and this art will come to us with experience. If we are sincere devotees, steadily practicing Krishna consciousness. Then in a letter again to Bali Maradana Prabhu in 1972, he says, the more advanced understanding of Krishna consciousness is that by telling the truth in a very palatable way, that is the most successful system. So speak the truth, but speak it palatably. Speak it in a way that the person in front of you will understand. Then again, in a letter to Sankarshan Prabhu in 1972, he says, the highest development of Krishna consciousness will be when you are able to give anyone the truth, but in such a manner that they will respond in a positive way. He is giving us tips for how we should be preaching, how we should be speaking. And he recounts a humorous episode. He said that when he was a young man, he was in his grihastha life, and he was living in Bombay in those days, and he would go with some of the sannyasis. He was not a sannyasi, he was a grihastha, but the sannyasis were running the local Gaudiya Math temple, and he would sometimes accompany them when they would go to collect funds for building a temple or something. And they would go to some wealthy people and businessmen. And Prabhupada says that the sannyasi who was sitting with him would often preach to those people and say, our Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, lived for 12 years in the forest eating only tulsi leaves. And Prabhupada says that when I heard such a story, I could scarcely stop laughing. He said, but somehow it was effective to get money and give to our Guru Maharaj, and he was pleased by our gift. But he said, that is not the way. It's not the way to do it. How can somebody live only on eating tulsi leaves for 12 years? It's not possible. So Prabhupada said he could scarcely stop laughing. Again, he repeats the point. The idea is not what you are saying, so much as how you say it.
If you understand this properly, then you may be able to say the truth at all times in the most palatable way, according to the situation and type of hearer. To perfect this art, that takes practice. So practice preaching from this understanding, and gradually you will develop it more and more. But then he said, but we should never steal anything like food, water, gasoline, just to enhance our service to Krishna. In the early days, sometimes devotees used to do it. You know, I remember when I was temple president in one temple, this was like way back in the early 90s, one of our brahmacharis was a little fanatic. And because Prabhupada said in one place, a sadhu should be allowed to go anywhere and everywhere and they shouldn't be charged for anything. And then if anybody stops him, you know, then he's like a dog who is at the door barking, whoa, whoa, who are you, who are you? So now it needs intelligence to apply that teaching. So this brahmachari, he would travel in the local trains in Bombay without buying a ticket. So I didn't know that he was doing that. And one day we got a call. It was night, we were worried because he hadn't returned. It was night time and I was worried, sick, thinking, where has he gone? What has happened to him? Those days we didn't have mobile phones and everything. And he used to go to distribute books and all that in the trains. So where could he be? Bombay is such a big city. How do you search for somebody? Finally, in the middle of the night, we got a phone call from the police saying, there's this, then he spoke, came on the phone. And he was crying. He was a young boy actually. He was crying and then he said, what happened? He said, then we rushed to the police station and then we brought him out. And we got a earphone from the policeman there. So we found out that he he used to go without a ticket. So when the TC came and the ticket checker came along, he must have spoken this kind of language. Sadhu should be allowed to go everywhere, who are you to stop? Like a dog barking, this, that, he must have said so many things. Even if he's a biased person, everybody has a limit. So he saw he was a sadhu, but still he said, this is too much. So he took him to the police. And he was there inside. So after that, I think he has never traveled on train without a ticket anymore. Of course, there aren't many sadhus in India till today who travel without a ticket. And the ticket checkers let them go because they are sadhus. So the point is that Prabhupada is saying here, don't do things like this just because you're doing things for Krishna. You know, saying, okay, I can tell a lie just because it's for Krishna. No, we can't be so whimsical and so casual about this whole thing. It's very dangerous. In another letter to a gentleman called Ramesh Mahalingam, what happened is that this Mr. Mahalingam had been discussing the philosophy with some of Prabhupada's disciples. And they had given him a very heavy dose of the philosophy. So he had felt very offended because they spoke so strongly to him. And so he wrote a letter to Prabhupada protesting. And he said, this is how your disciples are behaving with me. This is how they're speaking to me. I'm also, you know, he must have been 60, 65 years old. I've lived so much life. These young boys, and they're just coming and speaking like this to me. I also am a cultured man, I'm born in a Brahmin family, whatever it was he said. So Prabhupada then wrote back to him. You know, Prabhupada apologized to him first of all in the letter. And he said, please pardon them. They are just young foreign boys and girls. They don't know the proper etiquette. They are very young in age and new to this country. And new to this path, they are neophytes, please forgive them. So he wrote very sweetly to this Mr. Mahalingam. But there are, so despite saying that, so he pacified him,
But he didn't agree with Mr. Mahalingam's philosophy. Right? He agreed with what his disciples had said, but he didn't agree with how they had said it. You follow? And they should have been more intelligent in deciding what to say and how to say. So then he says, while he apologized for the behavior of his disciples, then he goes on to say, but their ardent desire to convey the idea of Krishna consciousness is laudable. So he's trying to tell Mahalingam that we are sorry that they spoke to you like this, but please appreciate their spirit. They want to speak the truth of Krishna consciousness, and that is appreciable. Of course, we have to speak the truth, but very palatably. These neophyte devotees, he said, referring to his disciples, have not yet learned how to speak the truth palatably, but gradually they are learning. And then the next day, he wrote a letter to that particular devotee. I won't take names here. Because that was when they were very young, in the early 70s, now they are sannyasis and everything. Okay? They are old in age now. Enclosed, please find a copy of a letter to Mr. Mahalingam. You have to deal tactfully in your preaching. Do not compromise the truth, but speak palatably, so he does not reject it, but accepts it. That is preaching. And then once again to Sumati Moraji. One article was written in Back to Godhead magazine. When she read that, she became disturbed about some point. So she wrote to Prabhupada. Prabhupada replies, I am sorry to learn that you have become agitated regarding the publication of an article in our BTG magazine. It is certainly unpleasant. But the officers who publish the magazine do not know Satyam Bruya Priyam Bruya. In this material, only palatable truth should be spoken. Unpalatable truth should be carefully avoided. The cause of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's agitation was much the same as your own. As you are irritated by the article, by the criticism of Sri Vallabhacharya, similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also agitated when Vallabhacharya criticized Sridhar Swami. So this way, Prabhupada, very in an intelligent way, he doesn't say any untruth. He sticks by the truth. He sticks to the point. But then he pacifies the situation in such a way that the other person is now consoled. So therefore, we have to be very careful. We have to take all these different injunctions carefully, thoughtfully. We'll be discussing more on Satyam Bruyat Priyam Bruyat also in the evening session, and we'll see how it goes. And some more stories to tell you also. A lot of stories coming up. Okay, so it's 5 o'clock now, and I think we'll stop now. Questions and answers? Actually, yeah, because there will be more to come, so many of the questions will get answered also. Maybe we can have a whole session for question and answers later. Isn't that better? So what I suggest is, please note down your questions as and when they come to your mind on a sheet of paper. And then you can send the questions up, and we'll have one whole session only for questions. Because there'll be many things to say, and many points will automatically get clarified as we go along. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Sorry, if I can just grab your attention. We will now break for afternoon tea. Now, the afternoon tea will go for probably about half an hour. Dhira Prabhu is actually going outside to lead the seva. Can I ask the following devotees on the first column, Jignesh Prabhu, Bhavan Prabhu, Sandeep Prabhu, Samir Prabhu, Rajiv Prabhu, and Akhilesh Prabhu, to go and help Dhira Prabhu set up the afternoon session. And then those in the middle and the right row, if you could help afterwards, just in terms of serving and cleaning up as well. Now, can I humbly request everyone to try and be back here? We've got another group activity straight after afternoon tea, and that is going to start at 5:30 sharp. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.